Good morning. You guys hear me okay, or am I echoing? Back up. All right. All right. Well, I had an idea of starting off with something maybe like a funny joke or a short story or a poem about being single. I also asked the women's ministry if maybe we could get a few eligible bachelors up here to raffle off, but that didn't work, so I'll just go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Tiffany Jonker. I'm 25 years old, and I'm single. I really wish we had the time this morning to go around the room so that we could introduce each one of you, because I do know that we probably all have at least one thing in common, in that we are single right now at this time in our lives, unless you're my mom or my grandma and you're just here for moral support, so thank you. I did find a list compiled online, and it says, please do not say the following to a single woman. And I kind of laughed because I probably have heard each one of these things, and you may have too. How's your love life? Don't worry, you'll find someone. Thank you. Ask her to do it. She's single. I'm sure she has loads of free time. Don't you ever get lonely? So when are you planning on settling down and getting married? It's just not that easy, is it? I believe that there are a few different categories of women here this morning. There are those of you who may be in a dating relationship right now that may in the future lead to marriage, but has not yet. There's those of you who are ladies in waiting, just waiting on the Lord to bring that man into your life. There may be those of you that feel called to being single, or those of you that are divorced or widowed. But no matter where you are in status or in circumstance this morning, I truly believe that the Lord has a word for you this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to dig into your word. And I thank you for the common bond that we share here this morning. I pray that your spirit would minister to our hearts, that we would be open, we would have open ears to hear what your spirit is telling us this morning. So join us now and be glorified through us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word single? Just tell me something. First thing that comes to your mind. Happiness?
Freedom?
Two answers? Patience? Loneliness. Well, the other day I was sitting outside of Starbucks and I was working on my message and I was contemplating that very question. What comes to my mind when I hear the word single or being single? And there was a girl walking out of a nail salon, and she was younger. She wasn't wearing a wedding ring, so I thought, all right, I'm going to ask her. I'm going to ask her the question. She's going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to ask her. So I asked her, hey, I'm doing a message. I explained to her the situation, asked her what was the first thing she thought about being single. And her response was, like you, freedom, being able to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And in one sense, she was right. But what comes to your mind? Lonely, excited, anxious, bitter, fortunate? I can say that throughout my life, I have experienced each one of those things when it comes to my status of being single. But through preparing this message, I have felt that the Lord has shown me so many exciting things about being single. And this morning, we are going to go over so many different scriptures that relate to that or pertain to that and making the most of the status that you're in right now. And you don't need to write all of them down. I mean, I encourage you to take notes, but you don't need to write all of them down, because I'm going to give you a sheet at the end that will give you all the verses that I've mentioned. But gosh, I never realized how much the Word of God really does have to say about exactly where we are in our lives right now. So if you are taking notes, there are three B's this morning. Be content, be busy, and be prepared. We're going to start off with be content, because I feel that that really does lay the groundwork for being prepared and for being busy. Just like when you're building a house, you know, they lay the foundation first. I truly believe that before we can make the most of our singleness, we really need to learn how to be content in our circumstance. In Philippians 4:11 through 12, the Apostle Paul talks about his learned ability to be content in all circumstances. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And I think it's important to note what circumstance Paul was in when he said that. Paul was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in prison at that time. And he was able to be content. And I am not in any way saying that being single is like being chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if Paul can be content in that circumstance, I know that we can be content exactly where God has us right now. Contentment can be defined as being satisfied with what one is or has, not wanting more or anything else. By that definition this morning, would you be able to say that you're content? Pastor James McDonald, I don't know if any of you came to the series that he spoke on here at Harvest a while back on trials, but he said that contentment says, when I have much, I will praise him. When I have little or nothing, I will still praise him. Now, I do know that there are seasons in our life where being single may be a little bit more difficult than others. For example, you may be like me and have 3 save-the-date announcements on your refrigerator. Every paycheck is a down payment on a bridesmaid dress. Weekends are spent tying raffia bows to wedding announcements. Blogs are filled with engagement photos from the ever-so-talented Trevor Honey. Rich bride, poor bride, and glamorous wedding episodes are endless. It's my season, just in case you didn't notice. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance to check out the blog Gray Likes Weddings, just don't. It'll only make things worse. But with all that being said, we can be content exactly where God has us right now. How? By taking heed to God's promises, by believing God is who he says he is, and by understanding our purpose. So let's go over those real quick. Taking heed to the promises of God. In order to take heed to those promises, I think we should talk a little bit about what some of those promises are. And I'm going to go over a few scriptures here. Psalm 73, 24 through 26 says, "You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength and my portion forever." This means that he's going to sustain us. He's going to be our portion. He's going to satisfy us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Jeremiah 29:11, a verse you're all very familiar with, he promises to give you a future and a hope. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, "He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." Romans 8:39, "Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love that God has revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isaiah 40:28 through 29 says, "Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth? He never grows faint or weary." Praise the Lord. "No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and he offers strength to the weak." If you're feeling weak, he will offer you strength. In Isaiah 41:10, "I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Genesis 28:15 says, "I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised." And I challenge you this morning, and as you go home, to really look throughout the promises of God. We're starting a study for our college group. It's called Women at the Well, but we're starting a new series on the promises of God because they are so vast and they are so true. If you're having trouble finding the promises of God, you can go buy little books in the bookstore that will kind of list all the verses that include the promises of God and take heed to those promises. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Apostle Paul says, "For all the promises of God are in him. In him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." These promises are not the promise of a month-to-month Curves membership or a proactive facial guarantee. These promises come from the one who created you. The one that in Deuteronomy 7:7-8 says he set his affections on you. Those promises come from a God who has set his affections on you and on me because he loves you. And I think just having the knowledge of how much God loves us, knowing that he loves us with a love that knows no height, no depth, no width, should allow us to say, "God, I have no idea what's going on in my life right now, but I trust you and I love you." Taking heed to the promises of God should bring about contentment. I believe that if we believe who God says he is, we should have no problem being content exactly where he has us. And in order to believe God believe God is who he says he is, we need to know who God says he is. I don't know about you, but I think that oftentimes we focus more on who we are or what we can do for Christ or who God wants us to be, when those things are all very, very important. But more importantly, we want to know who God is. We want to know who God says he is. I was recently looking through a book that a friend of my mom's had given her, and it was called Praying the Names of God. And I opened up the front cover, and inside the front cover, she had written to my mom, "Diane, pray the name and believe the promise." Now that we've talked about believing the promise, let's talk about praying the name. Who is God? If you don't have this book, I challenge you to get it too, because it's great. But who is God? He is Elohim, your creator, your mighty creator. And these are all very personal. When I give you these names of God, I want you to take them to heart as you personally, not in just the big picture, but to you, take them to heart. The second is El Shaddai, your mighty God. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Rophi, your healer. He is Jehovah Nisi, your banner. Yahweh Shalom, he is your peace. He is Jehovah Roi, your shepherd. He is your dwelling place, your refuge, your shield, your fortress, your strong tower. And he is your husband, or in Hebrew, your Ish. I was really excited to learn that. In the book of Hosea, God refers to himself as your husband, which to me reflected the passionate love that he has for us, the intimate love that he has for you, his daughters, and for me. It reflected his way of protecting, pursuing, and providing for his daughters. In Hosea 2:19 through 20, the Lord says, "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." That's to us. In Isaiah 54:5, "Your creator will be your husband." Doesn't get any more clear than that. "The Lord Almighty is his name. He is your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth." Those are just some of the things God says that he is. There is nobody in the world that can compete with who God is and who God's and how much God loves you. I challenge you to look no further than your creator and your heavenly husband to sustain you right now at this time in your life. So as my mom's friend so accurately put it, pray the name and believe the promise. And third, what is your purpose? Let's take a quick look at what our purpose is here. Now, if we go back to the creation of woman, we all know that we were created because God said that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So yes, we as women were created as relational creatures. We were created to be man's helpmate. And I think that's why sometimes, for those of us that have a strong desire to be married, I think that's why sometimes it is hard for us to be single, because we were created with that relational tendency. We have a desire to be a helpmate. But there is a bigger picture, an even bigger purpose. Someone once said, "Our destiny, our greatest purpose as God's people is to become his bride." And I love that, because think about that. Our goal here on earth is that one day we will meet him face to face, and as we are seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we will be the bride of Christ. Ultimately, that is our goal. John Piper, while growing up, had a plaque hanging on his house, and it said, "Only one life, 'twill soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last." And in Acts 20:24, Paul says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus is to testify the gospel of grace." Our purpose. Isaiah 43:7, the Lord said, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him." In 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God." In Ephesians 2:10, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things God planned for us long ago." So according to these verses, what is our purpose? Isn't that a huge question in today's society? What is my purpose? I know when you go out street witnessing, usually at some point when you're ministering to someone or witnessing to someone, it will get to that point. What is your purpose? That is a deep question that the world is wanting to know. And think about it. All the answers are right there in those verses, and there are several more in Scripture that will go even deeper. But what is your purpose? What was God's intended purpose for mankind? What was God's intended purpose for you? To bring him glory and to bring him glory in all that you do. In John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life, I'm going to quote him three times this morning. In John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life, he says, and I quote, "We waste our lives when we do not pray and think and dream and plan and work toward magnifying God in all spheres of life. God created us for this, to live our lives in a way that makes him look more like the greatness and the beauty and the infinite worth that he really is. That was what we were created for. Our purpose is to glorify God in all we do." And last time, quoting John Piper, he says, and this is one of my favorite quotes, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him." Serve the Lord wholeheartedly and get to know him intimately, and he will be glorified. That's how you fulfill your purpose. Okay, so the first B was contentment. Our second B is to be busy. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 27. It says, I'll give you guys a second to turn there. It says, "Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife." Back to contentment for just one second. Paul is here saying not to seek your way out of the current circumstance that you're in. So if you're single, don't seek to be married. If you're married, don't seek to be single. When I read that, I'm like, oh, great, because I'm telling you I seek to be married. I'll tell you that. I do. But I wanted to know exactly what the Greek for that word seek meant. So I looked it up. The Greek word is zadio, and it meant to crave or demand something from someone. So I was like, okay, Tiffany, don't crave or demand, but it is okay to desire, right? Lord promises to give us the desires of our heart. It's okay to desire. Okay. Let's move on down to 1 Corinthians 7:32. Paul says, "But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord." Down to verse 34. "There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the world, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she who is married cares about the things of the world and how she may please her husband." And on down to verse 40. "But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God." So since Paul is saying that single girls care for the things of the Lord and how we may please him, what are you doing with your time right now in order to serve the Lord and to please him? Or better yet, what are you doing with your time, period? Are you doing productive things with your time? For me, growing up here at Harvest, I have had an amazing opportunity to get involved in so many different ministries. From being being an MYT counselor for the children's ministry, being a high school camp counselor, girls' discipleship group leader, having the chance to share the gospel and travel the world with the SWAT team, decision follow-up counselor, being involved with the women here at the Well, our college study, currently serving in the Women's Ministry Event Board. And I tell you this only because it's just a testimony of what God can do when you make yourself available, when you make yourself willing and available to serve him. I can say that I feel like I've been married to the church for the last couple years. You know, every night of the week, you know, you're at the church. And it's not a burden. It's such a privilege, and it's such an opportunity. It really is. I feel so blessed to have that. At this time in your life, when you have the time and the resources to be much about your Father's business, now is the time to make the most of serving the Lord. Your time and your resources aren't divided with serving a husband. You're single. You have that time to really serve the Lord in such a large capacity. So ask yourself, are you serving the Lord faithfully and consistently right now in any way? Not just, I go to church on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, but how are you currently serving the Lord faithfully week in and week out? Maybe you're sitting here thinking, Tiffany, I feel unprepared. I'm kind of maybe new at this, or maybe I just haven't made that second step into really getting involved. Maybe you don't know where your strengths lie at this point or where you would be most effective. But I encourage you just to step out in faith and make yourself available. whether it be committing to going to a basics class or a growth class or women's ministry or going on a Mexico missions trip or joining the discipleship team or the follow-up team or just making yourself available to be a greeter on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. Step out. I promise you that if your motives are pure and you have a desire to please the Lord, He is going to give you all that you need. I can tell you that every time I've gone to serve in any sort of ministry, I've never felt capable, I've never felt prepared, but the minute your motives are pure and you start to serve the Lord, He gives you all that you need because His strength is made perfect in our weakness. If you're looking for your gifts this morning and you're like, I actually don't know where my gifts lie. Is it teaching? Is it the gift of hospitality? Is it the gift of comfort? Is it the gift of encouragement? Whatever your gift is, or maybe you don't know, I challenge you to look through the Word of God and look for those verses and look for those gifts and pray for the ones that you so desire. We're told to do that. We're told to pray for the gifts that you desire. Or maybe pray that God will strengthen the ones that He's already given you, the ones that are already evident in your life. If you're not committed right now to serving the Lord in any capacity, I encourage you to make yourself readily available to be used by God and to be married to the church and to Jesus. This is a time in your life to know the Lord intimately and to serve Him day in and day out. I think of the Old Testament story of Ruth. Some of you are going through the study in Ruth, the summer study, but you think about Ruth, who the calling that the Lord had on her life was to serve her mother-in-law, Naomi. She left all that she knew, all that she could possibly have, all that she was comfortable with, because that was what the Lord had placed in front of her at that time. And she was faithful to it. She was consistent. She was dedicated to it. She left all she knew. How willing are you to serve the Lord? Tiffany, it's uncomfortable, or I don't know anyone. Well, none of my friends are serving in that ministry. Ruth sacrificed, and the Lord completely blessed her obedience and service. The Lord brought to her Boaz, her chosen man. She met him while serving the Lord. She didn't seek him out, but she was actively about her father's business, and he blessed her. Author Priscilla Shearer says, in response to Ruth's obedience, God was able to bring about a miracle in Ruth's life. If Ruth hadn't followed God's leading, she would have missed out on a ministry and a new service for the Lord. She might have married again, but she would have missed out on her kinsman redeemer. She would have missed out on being the great-grandmother of King David and a part of the messianic genealogy. She would have gained herself, but lost her miracle. I challenge you to trust God through patient obedience as you wait on Him. And on to our third B this morning, be content, be busy, now it's be prepared. And in Proverbs 31:10, it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And I know you are all probably very familiar with Proverbs 31, but what stood out to me about verse 10 was that she will do him good all the days of her life. That even means right now, wherever you are right now in your life. What am I doing right now that will affect my future relationship, my future marriage relationship that will do him good, my future spouse? How can we prepare for what God has in store for our future? Someone once said, my singleness is a journey, not some sort of trapped prison. I challenge us to walk through the journey, and a flourishing journey. But here are five very practical ways to prepare now for what God has for you in the future. These are super practical things we can apply right now. Number one, get to know Jesus. At some point in your life, whether it be your future spouse, your sisters in Christ, your family, your loved ones, they're gonna fail you. It's inevitable. They're human. But if we get to know the Lord right now and we have this intimate relationship with us, if we look back, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never fail us. It's so important to take this time right now to draw near to the Lord. And how do you do this? By spending time daily in God's word and in prayer. You can get to know Jesus by doing just that. If someone were to ask you today how you do your quiet time, what would you say? Would you be able to give an answer of consistency and depth? Oh, I read the word every day. I pray every day for an hour. I have my prayer closet. For me, I'm going through a book, a devotional, a daily devotional called My Utmost for His Highest. And it's basically a daily devotional that gives you a scripture, and then Oswald Chambers gives you some sort of insight, some sort of challenge on where you are in comparison to that portion of scripture. I also try to read a psalm a day. Another big part of my devotion time is journaling. I don't know how many of you journal, but if you don't, it's amazing to be able to write down and express to the Lord the concerns of your heart, or to thank him or to praise him through journaling. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked back on my journals from the last couple years and just been in awe of where God has brought me from, or the prayers that he's answered, or just seeing the growth even in the verbiage of my prayers and things like that. Wow, you know, at this point I must have been super close with the Lord at this point. Oh man, I was really in despair at this point. Man, this was a good time in my walk with the Lord. And it kind of shows you that journey, that flourishing journey of your walk with the Lord. And if you don't journal, I challenge you to journal. Plus, it's fun picking out cute journals. I love that. It's great. But if we pursue Jesus through his word and we are abiding in him, then Oswald Chambers says, this abiding awareness will continually push itself to the forefront of our minds. Isn't that what we want? To be abiding in Christ so that him and his word are always at the forefront of our minds. So number two is to nurture your friendships. I know that while being single, I've seen this in my own life and in friends of mine's life, we tend to focus more or put effort into the relationships or friendships that could maybe eventually end up in a romantic status. And by that I mean, you know, spending our nights waiting to find out where our crush is going to be hanging out, or texting them back and forth. This might refer maybe a little bit more to the younger girls, but texting back and forth. But in essence, just putting our girlfriends on the back burner and not really investing in that fellowship or time of accountability that we have with them. And I encourage you just to really make a conscious decision to make your girlfriends and your sisters in Christ a priority in your life right now. They're going to be the ones that are going to be encouraging you and praying for you and holding you accountable. Guys are going to come and go. They're going to come in your life. They're going to come out. But sisters in Christ, that relationship is sweet and it can be lasting. Someone once said, "Dates come and go, but friends are God's arms holding us up when romantic ventures let us down." I don't know about you, but I've definitely experienced that with my sisters in Christ. Number three, do what you love. What is it that you love to do? Do you love to draw, sing, write, paint, travel? I have a friend who has used her time of singleness to really serve the Lord in every capacity. She's traveled the world to Africa for months at a time just to use the gifts God has given her on that level. She's going again to Haiti coming up very soon. Just using the time God has given her right now to serve the Lord. She's not tied down to anything. The money that she earns, she can spend in serving the Lord, raise those funds to serve the Lord. Do you have hobbies or gifts that you would like to exercise or spend time doing? Do it now. It's a great time in your life. And as a bonus, guys really do like women who have a passion for life and doing what they love. It's attractive. But next is serve someone else. Have you ever noticed? Okay, let's just say I've noticed that if I'm sitting at home or I'm driving and I'm thinking about myself, my circumstance, my status, where I am in my life, I can oftentimes get depressed, no matter what, whether you're married, whether you're single, because none of us are perfect. So we're sitting there thinking, oh gosh, this is depressing. Man, I just, I'm not great at this or I'm not great at that. Can become really disappointing. But I challenge you to really try to serve someone faithfully. Is there something else or someone else that you can invest in consistently and faithfully? And I just want to touch on using the words consistently and faithfully are huge, because it really makes a difference when you're doing something day in and day out. I've talked to a girl this morning about going street witnessing, and she said that she's noticed such a difference in her walk with the Lord as she's been doing that faithfully and consistently. Not just once a month doing this or once a month doing that, but really being faithful to what God has called you to. Is there someone in your life right now that the Lord is asking you to disciple? Has he maybe put that in your path? Or maybe there's a nursing home that could use a faithful servant every week. Or maybe a foster care that's in need of regular visitors. There are so many different things. The ministries are endless to really invest in someone. When you take your eyes off of yourself and put them onto someone else, it really helps you to grow. And lastly, don't compromise. We have the tendency sometimes to accept the first thing that comes along in order to satisfy our desires. I've made that mistake. You may have too. Loneliness can be destructive in our steps to prepare for the future God has for us. Don't allow it to be. This is where patiently waiting comes into play. I know you guys didn't think you were going to come in this morning to a message on being single and not talk about waiting. But I have three friends, and in this past year, I have seen these three friends who used to walk with the Lord completely compromise because they grew weary of waiting for what God had for them. One's currently married, one's engaged, and one's dating very seriously. The men that they're dating or the men that they're with now, they love them. The men love them. They treat them well, but they have no passion to serve the Lord. They do not have a deep intimacy with the Lord. All three of my friends have grown carnal in their walks with the Lord and are not serving the Lord in any capacity. And that's what can happen if we grow weary in doing good. Please don't allow yourselves to grasp at the first thing that comes to you. You know, wait on the Lord. Wait till you hear from the Lord. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. That verse has ministered to me in so many different ways. Someone gave it to me 2 to 3 years ago. It's Galatians 6:9. "Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you shall reap a harvest." Waiting on the Lord can be difficult. We've all heard the common verses, Psalm 46:10. You know, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 37:7, Isaiah 40:31. I'm sure you all are familiar with these verses that talk about waiting and being still before the Lord. A couple weeks ago, I was at dinner with my family. I think it was Mother's Day, I think. But we were sitting at Olivia's, and I was talking to my grandma, and we were talking about, you know, waiting on the Lord for my future spouse. And my grandma was encouraging me not just to wait on the Lord, but to actively wait on the Lord. And she used the analogy of a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant and challenged me to really be the best waitress, if you will, for the Lord at this time. How may I serve you today, Lord? You know, what can I do for you today, Lord? And just being active in waiting on the Lord, not just sitting back and saying, "Okay, God, you're going to bring me someone." Yeah, but do it in an active way. Be busy. Be about your Father's business, just like Ruth was. A minute ago, I mentioned Psalm 46:10. Says, "Be still and know that I am God." But another translation puts it, "Cease to strive and see the salvation of the Lord." To me, it's refreshing to know that we can cease to strive, cease to work, and cease to plan. We can sit back and actively serve the Lord and wait on Him to move. I don't know about you, but I would consider myself a planner. I kind of like to have all my ducks in a row. I kind of want to know, you know, what's going to happen before it happens. I tend to take the steering wheel sometimes and say, "Lord, I think this is what I need to do at this time in my life." But did you know those promises that God gives us, we can be still and wait on the Lord for Him to bring us exactly where He wants us to be or bring us exactly who He wants us to have? And on a side note, if you are striving right now to be in a relationship or you're striving after a man, and by that I mean planning little accidental run-ins or leaving little notes on his car or text messages or, "Oops, my phone accidentally called him." There's no accidents there. I know. There are no accidents there. You know, pursuing the same friends, pursuing the same ministries or interests. Rest in the fact that God has the marriage part of your life all figured out. We don't need to strive after this. We don't need to plan it. We can prepare for it, but we don't need to plan it because God sees it from the beginning and He sees it to the end. And if we're abiding in Him, we're serving Him, we're waiting on Him, we're being obedient, He's going to bless that and He's going to bring that in His timing. And plus another bonus, men enjoy pursuing women. And ladies, if he's not pursuing you, maybe he's just not that into you. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but light bulbs. No, I don't really recommend the movie, but as the Lord is preparing you to be women, the women He has called you to be, He is also preparing that man to be who God is calling him to be. And to me, that's exciting because I know I need work and I know where the Lord's brought me over the past couple years. And to think that that same thing is going on right now in my future spouse's life is really exciting to me. Probably preparing him to be able to handle me, but but right now you should be praying, or what can we be doing right now to be preparing for that man God has for us? But in Ephesians 5:26, that's the man we should be praying for. We should be praying for that Ephesians 5:26 man, and that verse says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word. And that is a promise that I know personally that the Lord has made to me, that whoever the Lord has for me, that man is going to be able to wash me in the word. And that is something I hold tight to, and that is one of the things I look for, and that is one of the things that I pray for on a daily basis. And I know for you there are tons of things that you desire: tall, dark, handsome, athletic, you know, funny, all of these different things. But the most important thing is that he will be that spiritual leader that God has called him to be in your life. And don't settle for anything less than that. He must know and understand the word. He must speak it. He must believe it. He must stand on it, and he must live by it. And in the same way, we should be doing those same things with the word of God. We should be living by the word of God, because a godly man wants a godly woman. In Psalm 37:4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That is a promise, and he is our Father. So as my mom's friend put it, pray the name and believe the promise. I want to close with this. As I was working on my message in the back room of our house, I discovered a Christian radio station on our DirecTV, and I kind of put it on quietly, and I was working on my study and wasn't really paying attention to the songs, but there was a song that came on, and I kind of heard the word waiting, so I was like, well, I'm going to turn it up because I'm waiting, and I turned it up, and it's a song you may be familiar with. It's in the movie Fireproof. It's called While I'm Waiting. It's by John Waller. Has anybody heard that song before? Okay. It's amazing. Seriously. You could just listen to it over and over and over. And I challenge you to download it when you get home off iTunes or however you do that. But I'm going to read the lyrics to you. He says, "I am waiting. I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I am hopeful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it is painful, but patiently I will wait. I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will not faint. I will be running the race, even while I wait. I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I am peaceful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it's not easy, but faithfully I will wait. Yes, I will wait." And I felt that was divine from the Lord at that moment, because I knew that through this message, God was going to teach me amazing things about his word through this message. And he definitely did, just through the scripture that he's promised us. But the part that I love the most about that is, "I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience." So in closing this morning, I encourage you to make the very most of this time in your life, this time of singleness, where your time and your resources are not divided. Be content. Be busy and be prepared for what God has in store for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for exactly where you have us right now, Lord. Even though sometimes it may be hard, it may get lonely, you've showed us this morning that it is exciting. And you can do so much with us, ladies, that our time and our resources are undivided, and we have a desire to serve you. So I pray that you would teach us how to make our schedules available, how to be obedient. I pray that you will teach us to move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay. We have a couple side notes here. We have about 10 minutes left. I don't know why they're lining up yet. Maybe the other sessions got out early. But I do want to take a time just for question and answer. If you have any questions, Lord, give me the words. But does anybody have any questions or anything about maybe anything we talked about, or maybe your status or your circumstance or being single today or how or anything like that? Yes. Yes, definitely. I can do that for you. I also have a list. Don't leave today without grabbing one of the flyers that Deja has in the back and my mom has in the back. They have all the verses that I mentioned. It also has the title of the song and the author. But if you give me your email address, I can email it to you. Yeah. Yes.
Do you
Yeah. eHarmony, yes. Christian Cafe, I've heard them all. I have. And, you know, I've known people that the Lord has blessed their relationships with their husbands that they've met on that. I'm not quite there yet, and I don't know how I feel about that. I really believe that may be kind of taking things into your own hands, maybe a little bit, because I know that the Lord is going to bring that person to you, just like the Lord brought Boaz to Ruth, just like the Lord brought Eve to Adam. So I know that if we wait and we desire that, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Yes. Yeah, you know, and that's a thing. Being single, Paul refers to as a gift, you know? It's like, it's not a negative thing. It really is a gift. He says in here that I wish you would all be like me. And even in the church today, you know, people look on it as something that's kind of a negative thing. Like, oh, you're 25 and you're single, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm serving the Lord and every, you know, as much as I can. Or so it really is a gift. You're right. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of a challenging question because you have seen marriages here that have ended in divorce and then, you know, remarriage, and those marriages have been fruitful. But, you know, we do have to stick to what the Word of God says. That, and I think that there are, you know, obviously the Word says that there are certain grounds for divorce as well. And, you know, I guess, I don't know about... The Lord can bless it, I guess, because all things he can turn to good. But he has called those women, you know, if you are divorced for certain circumstances, the Lord has called you to be single, you know. So, I mean, I would say my answer to your friends would be really to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because once you taste and see that he is good and he can sustain you and he can be your portion, he can be your strength, once they experience that, I don't think they'll have any question on how you have remained single and obedient to what God has called you to be. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. You know what? I would say slow is always better in a relationship. Because if I've seen a lot of marriages, a lot of friends that have really pushed themselves into marriage relationships, and then once they're in it, they haven't gotten to know that person does not love Jesus more than they love you or me, and then you're bound to that. You know, as Paul says, you're bound to that spouse. You're called to that, to stay into that marriage. So time is on our side in that essence, definitely. Yeah, and you know what? That's the first sign. We talked about that earlier, being able for him to wash you in the Word. You want your future spouse to lead you in the Word. And that is something that's going to, it is hard to find, you know, someone that, but they are out there, and God has someone picked out just for you who's going to lead you in the Word, definitely. Anna, what's that quote that's on everyone's, like, Facebook and MySpace, that a man has to look, you have to be, yeah. Yeah, did you guys hear that? A woman should be so in love with Jesus that a man has to seek Jesus to find her, you know? So, it's good. Yeah. Yes.
What if you got married before you were a Christian? You weren't even married, you got a divorce. And then you become a Christian.
Right. Can I look into that and get back to you? Because it really is, yes. She is a new creation in Christ. That's true. And like I said, the Lord will honor those relationships. I believe that if you have children, in those circumstances, you need to remain single because your devotion is really due to your children at that time, to raise your children in the grace and knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. So I definitely believe that, but... Okay, last question. Yes. Oh. It really is only by the grace of God, because this is something I really struggle with. And to be honest with you, when I was asked to do this message, I was like, I put this suggestion in a hat to be for a workshop, but not for me to do by any means. I was like thinking, yeah, we should have, you know, someone else do this, someone who's, you know, man, so much more mature in their faith, and someone who's, you know, been single for longer than me. But, you know, the Lord has taught me so much through this message and got me so excited about my life right now and my status right now. So thank you. It's only by the grace of God. All right. Yes. Which one? Yes. Monique. A woman should... Can you say a little bit louder? I know you're loud. Okay, well, you guys are dismissed. Thank you. Please don't forget to grab a handout. Also, I'm going to be up here just for a second. If you want to give me your email address, I can email you the lyrics to that song if you want. So, right out the door. Have fun in your next workshop. Love you, girls.